Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, bonjour. In Spain, hola. In Italy, ciao. In Egypt, ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, akwaba. In Nigeria, peleo. In South Africa, sawubona. In Senegal, nanga def. In Kenya, jambo. In Israel, shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all. Hi, I'm Naima Latif. Join me and my co-host Kareem Hamid every Wednesday morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on the Female Solution Radio Show as we explore that relationship that is the foundation for our society, the relationship between men and women, husbands and wives. Join our discussion as we seek to repair broken family ties and rebuild our community. Listen online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to our hosts. Or you can join us live on Facebook at www.facebook.com/the-female-solution.
Bonnie, we thank you so much for being a part of this discussion. I'm Naima Latif, and today we have another men-only discussion as we join our co-host, Kareem Hamid, and our American Muslim 360 family and talk about something that has been an issue. And we certainly are looking forward. We're going to be joining them and have this discussion about how do we promote the heterosexual lifestyle, particularly because we realize that many young men are being raised in single-parent, female-headed households. And so what we are looking to do is to help them who may be struggling with sexual identity to be clear on what the heterosexual identity is. So we're going to join them now.
To Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green on Thursdays at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to hear great topics and stories on grief and turn you into victory. Join Dr. Debbie Green to listen to stories of triumph and learn how to overcome. You are not alone in your life, and there is hope in the darkest hour. This is your time to learn strategies and solutions to improve your life. It's your time. So join Dr. Debbie Green with Soulful Solutions and call in on Thursday at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time at 515-605-9325 with comments and questions. Look to hear from you real soon.
Is Monday morning a struggle to get out of bed, into the swing of things? Well, don't worry, you are not alone. Join us for thought-provoking, stimulating, and mindful conversations on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks for your Monday morning mindfulness session on Blog Talk Radio, The Female Solution, Mondays, 7:30 until 9 a.m. Be sure and send your ideas, thoughts, comments, and suggestions. Also, if you'd like to be a guest on the show, visit ZeldaSpeaks.com and send us your info. We'd love to have you. Experience mindfulness moments with the mindfulness/stress relief coach, Zelda Speaks. And thanks for sharing the mindfulness moment tip of the day. Stay on purpose, stay empowered, and stay tuned to your next session of Mindfulness on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks. Make it a mindful day. And thanks for listening.
And Kwame mentioned the feminist movement. What's her name? Oh, I can't remember her name, but I plan to do an expose on her. The woman that was against lynching, Ida B. Wells, praise be to Allah, Ida B. Wells. She was very instrumental in the women's movement early in the early part of this century and the previous century, the 1800s. She was very active in that. But when there was a large march to be held, a national march to be held in Washington, D.C., marching down Pennsylvania Avenue for the full rights of women, the Caucasian women, which had the greater number, they prohibited that the African American
full rights of women
of that movement. They prohibited them from marching. So we don't want to get sidetracked into feminist movement, male movement. No, human movement. The movement of the human being. We should settle our differences now. We can speak to inequality, but don't lose focus that we're all one entity that moves life forward. We can deal with the problems that we may have with one another, but do not let that shape the overall thinking, the overall purpose for our being here. So we must curtail female bashing. We must curtail male bashing and see that we're under assault and promote the healthy lifestyle, the heterosexual lifestyle. Let me say this, then I want to hear from our guests. Across the country,
you've always been this song.
There is a national pride day held in every major city. Every major city. And they mean the promotion of the homosexual lifestyle. What would happen if heterosexuals set aside a day promoting and celebrating the heterosexual lifestyle? Husbands and wives and their children come out and celebrate the heterosexual lifestyle, promote it the same way as other ways of other lifestyles are promoted. So we have to see this under the light of what it really is. This is an assault on the natural way that produces human beings. My brother mentioned nature. That is very important. Almighty God has created us according to the nature that he has created all of creation. And we have examples all around us of what is natural, of what is natural. So I'm saying, and I hope that this sparks some thinking in us by way of promoting the heterosexual lifestyle. I'll stop right there. I want to see if there is someone on Naima's line that may not have dialed in to AM 360. Let me check with her. Okay. Naima, if you are hearing me, if there is someone, what's his name? Sunhorse, if Kwame Sunhorse is on your line, would you open up his mic? If L.A. Davis is on your line, if you would open up his mic. Okay, I don't see. Okay, I don't see him. But we have someone else that's pressed one on the phone, and we hope that they can lend some value to what we've shared thus far. Error code 724-866. Please state your name and where you're calling from, please. Error code 724-866. Okay. Maybe they inadvertently pressed one on the phone. All right.
I have another comment.
Wait a minute. I want to begin where I began and come down the list of the assembled panel, if I may please. Imam Sahir Beya, will you share with us your thoughts, please?
Yes, sir. Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum once again.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Very important, the brother mentioned, as well as you echoed, the sentiment of nature, what's natural. I deal with a lot of incarcerated men. And, of course, we know in those environments, homosexuality is a very pronounced practice. Whenever you take, you know, the male away from the woman for a prolonged period of time, you create an unnatural urge and imbalance in that human being to express itself in the sexual way. You know, and it doesn't always happen. It isn't always a thing to where guys say, you know, it's a stigma that says, you know, he was already like that. No, we are creatures of impression. And we are creatures of habit, environmental impression, and habit. If you take a person and put them in an unnatural environment, and that coupled with several other types of traumas and things like that, right? We're talking about an unnatural state. Then the production of that will be an unnatural production. And so when I deal with young men and young women, because I've dealt with young women with the same issue, I don't get into a criticism or judgment thing. I just simply offer them this. The reason that homosexuality in itself is not condoned by the Creator is because it does not produce anything from a natural standpoint. That's not having an opinion about it. That's not bashing. That's not being pro. Erase all of that. The bare bone facts of it is this: that if you take a man and a man and put them together, they will not produce what the dynamic was intended to produce, and that's the procreation of life and the promotion of family life. So no matter how you may feel about it, if we would, let's just say hypothetically, we were to, as of today, that every human being believed this to be true and correct and promoted this lifestyle, practiced this lifestyle, do you understand that within less than 200 years, less than 200 years, you could say 150, because the average person is only living to about 65 years old, 60 to 65 years old. In less than 200 years, we would cease to exist as a species. That's going against nature, because the nature of the human being is to procreate. To procreate and to teach and to share and to evolve himself, herself, society, the mind, the spirit. All this is about promotion and progression of life and actually the inheritance, you know, being able to leave something for the next generation. And so if we were to adopt this practice globally, socially, everybody, you know, since we're making it not so much wrong, right? We always want to be on the political side of saying things. Let's just say we did it. What will we be in the next 150 to 200 years? What will we be as a species? So that's just some food for thought, and this is one of the tools that I use to illustrate to, you know, young men and women that's dealing with this issue. And then, lastly, I pose another question. What about if you want to have children? You know, an obvious answer is from the males and the females, oh, well, I'll just adopt. Right? I say, well, listen, let me show you what God has shown you. No matter how you try to subvert the natural process, you still have to come through the natural process. Because even adopting a child, that child had to be birthed between a man and a woman. No matter how you feel about it, no matter what you say about it, like you think, that had to happen through the natural process. This is God's way of establishing his blueprint and his own creation. You can't change it. And so those are two points I use. But in less than 200 years, and then the fact of trying to parent children, you're still going to have to rely on the natural process. Whether you demonstrate the natural process or by way of using someone else, a surrogate type situation, you're still using natural. You still are referring to nature. So I'll conclude with that. And then shout out that that'll, you know, spark some thought in the minds of those who may be wrestling with that. Inshallah.
Thank you, Imam Sahir. Praise be to Allah for your valuable contribution. We move now to Imam Delacy Umar Phillips. Assalamu alaikum,
yes.
Imam Delacy Umar. We look forward to your commentary.
Alaikum assalam, peace and blessings on everyone. Just wanted to share a concept that probably could be most useful in as we see relationship. You know, we are encouraged to see our mates as partners, you know, and when you, the term used means a partner, and that is a good way to see, to create harmony, a harmonious relationship, where we look at each other as a necessary part of each other. This is my partner. This is my mate. And function like that. So I think we need to have that type of thinking promoted as well as we are, as like you mentioned, maybe we should have a day when married couples and families celebrate that type of relationship, that type of unity, that type of union. And it's really worth promoting. But I would just emphasize that husband, wife, they are partners. And if we could look at it in that light, it would eliminate a lot of what you call it, matrimonial abuse, family feuds, family, I can't get the right word for it, but the technical word they use for that, abusive family behavior. I think if we began to really see each other as equal partners, each having their own unique role and identity in that relationship, we could move forward much faster and more beneficial. I would think that would encourage marriage and maybe for the younger people to take a second look at what that relationship between the man and woman is and what God has, the Creator, has ordained it to be. So thanks for the opportunity.
Thank you, Imam Delacy Umar. Praise be to Allah. Yes, excellent suggestion there that we see each other as essential to each other, essential parts, the essential nature of the female and the male. We are, Almighty God says, the female in no wise is like the male, and the male in no wise is like the female. But in their functionality, that is true. No male has ovaries and a womb and all of that. But life is passed, it is passed through the canal of the female. That is a function. That is a utility and a function. But it is the male that impregnates that vessel that the vessel called female that life is passed through, and they are equally essential. They function differently, but they are definitely essential to one another. If we can, and I agree with you, if we can begin to see our unions like that, that we are really one unit operating in pairs, you know, to reproduce ourselves. And we are not totally opposite of one another.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Okay. I want to reiterate, we should curtail bashing one another, using derogatory expletives in referring to each other. I love my mother. You know, I love my mother. And the female in the Quranic Arabic, she is tantamount to to mother. So when we bash females on a general level, think about our mothers. And when we bash males on a generalized statement, all men are this and all men are that, think of your father who provides for you. You know, I'm talking about healthy father. So, inshallah, we want to promote heterosexual life. I want to now bring in our brother once again, Kufi Jane, if you would share with us some brief commentary before we move to another break in the broadcast,
well,
if you would, please.
I mean, this problem is not, you know, you're saying we're under assault. But this problem been here for thousand years. I mean, a long time. It just intensifies once they realize people are coming out of it. They bring that culture back into us. I was on a bus one day and I saw two young ladies, and she had an arm around her girl. And I looked, I said, "Do you know that's wrong?" She said, "What?" I said, "In the Bible, in Romans 1, chapter 1 says, you're going to get a reprobate mind. You're doing something unnatural." And it said, your penalty is a reprobated mind. She snatched her arm back. She started crying. She goes, "I knew this was wrong." I said, "Do you have a Bible?" She said, "Nope." I tore the page out of my book and gave it to her. I don't judge, because it's not me to judge. But in the text, in the word says, men lusting after men, women lusting after women, your penalty is a reprobate mind. And a reprobate mind means you are about to enter mental illness. Somebody might ask you your name, and you got to think about that. And you can tell. You can tell the men who are like that. They talk. You look at the woman. They just talk. They can't stop talking. That's the reprobate mind. So I'm not here to judge. I'm looking at what the word is proof of itself. The word is showing, and we're seeing the proof out here. I just put it out there and said, it's your choice. But we came here to procreate. And when you procreate, you have done the will of God for your life. But unfortunately, when men implant a baby in a woman's life, the government comes along and say, "Well, you know, you ain't got to have that man around. I can pay you and take care of you if you keep him, don't have him around." And in the 60s, they did that. You see, so we've always been under assault. But guess what? The word of God will assault them. And guess what? They'll back up. And you do your thing over there, and I'm doing my thing as a heterosexual over here.
See, praise be to God.
As it comes down to the end of the day,
I want to
scripture and the word will stop the war.
Yes, sir. I want to share with us from out of the Quran God's word concerning mankind. Mankind is not a male entity only. The word man is synonymous to mind, a thinking being. So this translation of mankind, for me, it should be translated humanity. And that this is the last chapter in the Quran. It is entitled El-Nas, El-Nas, the human. And it begins with this translation. I'm utilizing the Yusuf Ali translation, the new edition with revised translation commentary and newly compiled comprehensive index. And I'll only share with you the translation. It begins with seeking refuge with Almighty God from the accursed Satan. That is very important. And it begins with the name of God, with the name of Allah, most merciful benefactor, benefit derived from that, and merciful redeemer, that God has placed within the human being the capacity to redeem oneself. It says, say, in other words, speak, say, I seek refuge with the Lord and cherisher of mankind, the king of mankind, the God of mankind. The God is that which will pass judgment on us. We're seeking refuge with the Lord, the cherisher of mankind, the king or ruler of mankind, the God or judge of mankind, from what? It goes on in the fourth verse, from the mischief of the whisperer of evil, who withdraws after his whisper, sends a suggestion to the mind of the human being, sends suggestions like it's being done now, suggestions to us and our children to live an unnatural life that was not designed for the human being. We seek refuge with God from the mischief of the whisperer. It is very subtle. Who withdraws? He withdraws after his whisper. The same who whispers into the hearts of mankind, among jinn and among men. So may God bless the translation. So we are aware of the suggestion. We are aware of how impressionable the human being is and how we are not alone. Believe you me, the enemy of mankind is real. In the Christian's terminology, he is known as Satan. In Quranic terminology, he is known as the Shaytan. He envies the human being. He is jealous of the high station that God has given the common human being. He feels that he should manage everything. So he has the ability to suggest to our hearts and our minds ways of life that take us away from the real life. Not only that, in the preceding surah or chapter, it is entitled El-Falaq, the daybreak. It is translated the daybreak, when light dawns. And it the translation reads, I seek refuge with Almighty God from the accursed Satan. It reads, with the name of God, most gracious, most merciful, a benefactor, most merciful redeemer, here is what we must do. I seek refuge with the Lord of the dawn, the Lord of enlightenment, the Lord of intelligence, the Lord of intellect, the Lord of truth, the Lord of reality. These are my comments on that. From the mischief of created things, God has created everything, and it is good. But our perception of it can be, we can be given a skewed perception of created things. At one time, man thought the earth was flat due to his visual perception. At one time, man thought that the sun revolved around the earth due to man's perception. And man began to worship the sun due to man's skewed perception, the mischief of created things, how we perceive things. We seek refuge with Almighty God from the misperception of created things and from the mischief of darkness as it overspreads. Darkness is ignorance. Darkness is a lack of knowledge. Darkness is aberrant, immoral behavior as it overspreads. From the mischief of those who practice secret arts, there are people that are aware of our human makeup. They are aware of how impressionable we are. And the innocent human being may not have that knowledge, may not even know oneself. But there are people that know that we are pliable, that if given the wrong perception, the wrong way of thinking, they are practicing secret arts. They keep it among themselves. Hollywood, media, you name it. And from the mischief of the evil one as he practices envy. The evil one is the Satan, the Shaitan, that envies humanity. He envies the common man that Almighty God created in Adam. He wanted the position of Adam as custodian over all of the creation. So he is aware. He is subtle. He is an influencer. He is an influencer. He's aware that he can influence the human being to live off of the natural pattern that Almighty God created the human being to live. So we seek refuge with Almighty God to protect us from those influences. We cannot just do it ourselves. We should seek the help of Almighty God. And I agree with my brother, consult our scripture and follow the best thereof. And follow the best thereof and seek refuge with Almighty God in this turbulent time that we're living in. Praise be to Almighty God. So I ask us to go to the last chapter in the Quran. It is entitled El Nas, the human being, and follow the prescriptions that are found there. Praise be to Almighty God. So I want to see if there's anyone else that would have any more statements to make. I see 724-866. I'm going to open your line. If you want to add commentary to what we've shared thus far, please feel free to do so.
Yes, assalamu alaikum. I hope it's okay for a sister to come
Gail,
in.
Gail, you know I love you. Gail, you know I love you.
but
Gail, please. You know I love you. I want to be true to my word and keep the format that we have established here on the last Thursday of every month, that the males talk to one another without the influence. Females are very important, but it is very important that we as men, we talk to one another and not be swayed by the presence of females. Because y'all, you know, for real, we love you, and we will somewhat fashion our words and how we express just by the mere presence of your valuable presence. You know, I'm just saying. So I'm asking if you would, inshallah, next Wednesday, if you would come on and share your commentary on what we are discussing this morning, but I have to maintain what we are trying to establish here.
Yes, and I understand. Thank you. I will do that.
Yes. All right. Thank you, my sister. We thank
You're
Almighty
welcome.
God for you. Praise be to Allah.
Okay.
Naima, I want to stop now for some important public service announcements. Let me see if I can locate you on the studio board. Yes, okay. I don't see you. Pause now for some important public service announcements. We ask you, don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while. This is the broadcast of the Female Solution. Don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while. God willing, inshallah.
And we will be right back after this quick break. If you're listening online and want to join this conversation,
assalamu alaikum. This is Nirmat Shaheen, restorative justice practitioner for the Oakland Unified School District and host
and
on AM.
Right to get your thoughts. You're listening to and watching the Female Solution Global Radio TV show. And this is the men-only discussion. Women, call in. The Female Solution Line, 515-605-9325, and press 1. And we're going to have a bit of a session after the show as well. And let me go to one of our callers. I believe we have Sister Maika on the line, Grand Rising.
Grand Rising.
And, so during this break, we'll give ourselves an opportunity to kind of examine what we heard. And I think we've got Brother L.A. on. I'll make sure that they open his mic. Matter of fact, perhaps you can call directly because I'm sending him text messages. I don't think he's seeing it, that you're on my line, so he can open the mic and get your comments. But, Maika, one of the things that I'm hearing, you know, the men, of course, are coming from a religious perspective, and much of the religions have been warning or even condemnatory. And, you know, there's this unspoken battle kind of going on. And I've seen the conversation from two perspectives, especially from those who are struggling with sexual identity. What are your thoughts? What are your observations in terms of how do we address this issue?
I think one of the most important elements that's been left out of the children's education is real science, because real science will let you know that there is a negative and a positive that creates that creates manifestation, and it only comes from the negative and the positive coming together within everything. And I think that children need to be exposed more to nature outside of the city environments. I think the urban environments actually foster homosexuality because the children don't see animals interacting at a sexual level. And so they lose so much of what's natural in their upbringing. I think the two important things, science and nature.
I agree. I think that makes a lot of sense. One of the things that I see that is perhaps creating a lot of the confusion is the way sexuality is introduced to many of our young people in a way that is traumatic and, as you say, unnatural, but definitely way before its time. So when you have 5, 6, 7-year-olds being sexualized in a way that's unhealthy, and then you have the assault and abuse that occurs, and it's not talked about. So when someone's trying to heal themselves, if they have been introduced to sex in a way that traumatized them, then their development is not going to be healthy. It's not going to be what would have been natural and inborn in them. And this is not to condemn or judge, but to recognize
that particular aspect of human sexuality that has been damaged, and we're not addressing that. So if you don't address it, or if you address it and then someone who is living the homosexual lifestyle is feeling threatened or attacked, then you can never address the problem that is underlying many people's lives, where they need counseling, they need emotional support. They definitely don't mean condemnation, but they've been traumatized, and that has to be addressed and healed in a way that helps them to rebuild what is broken inside of them. That's the ability to trust in an intimate relationship. Sometimes what's broken is the ability to trust the opposite sex in an intimate relationship, because the opposite sex has violated you. Sometimes there's the promotion of shame, guilt, fear with the sex act, and that also becomes something that damages a child, certainly if sexuality is introduced at a time that's too early or in a way that's traumatic or both. I believe we've got Mama D on the line. Grand Rising, Mama D, thank you for your comment. And
Grand Rising, Mama D.
Yes, well, hallelujah, greetings, and Grand Rising to you, the stars, this gracing the planet. You know, I was just thinking about how character should go in before the career goes on. Character, integrity.
Character,
you know,
character before career.
Yeah,
I like
yes,
that.
You know, sometimes you ask children, what are you going to be when you grow up? And they'll tell you things like police officers and nurses and doctors and things like that. But the emphasis should be, what are you right now? Are you going to be a bad man? Are you going to do unto others as the idea of do unto others as you would have them do unto you? And instead of what career title are you going to wear when you grow up, is are you going to take things that don't belong to you? You know, do you think it's fair to beat up on other people if they're smaller than you, or take their bicycle, or, you know, character-driven conversation rather than this outside of you, because you're something right now. You don't have to wait until you grow up to be a person. That conversation should go on so that the child kind of gets an idea of what's it like to walk a moccasin, walk in someone else's moccasin, or would you like somebody to do that to you? And I don't think that there's enough of that. You know?
Yes, I agree. I think if we taught character,
you know, of course there is an agenda.
We could definitely solve that problem. So let's listen in. The men have returned. And let me see if I can switch L.A. Davis, let them know to open his mic. And we'll be back after the next break. Okay, stay with us, sisters, for the after show. And we are talking about
Naima?
Yes, I'm trying to, I'm texting you to let you know that L.A. Davis was waiting to speak. He disappeared. I don't know. Hope maybe he'll call your line.
I'm looking for his number all morning.
I know, and I'm repeating for men to call in 515-605-9891. We're live on Facebook, and we have the sisters on my line. So if any women call, Gail, still on, tell her to call 515-605-9325 and participate in that discussion. Men, please call Kareem's line. 515-605-9891. That's 515-605-9891. Brothers, we want you to call that switchboard directly so he can open your mic and hear you clearly. And sisters, please stay on our line because we're going to have a brief after show at the 9 o'clock hour to kind of assess some of the things we've heard the brothers say.
Okay, I must return back to the studio for it. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Assalamu
alaikum. Wa alaikum
assalam. Inshallah, he'll call back.
And
I click back there. Oh, there's Naima. Naima, do you hear us?
Yes, I do.
I guess he dropped off. His phone might have.
So can you hear me?
This is the Lacey whom I can hear you, certainly. Yeah.
Yes, so continue like talking and Kareem, make sure you open your mic. And I think 706-202, is this?
No, this is the Lacey Umar. You just opened my mic up, I guess.
No, this is Brother Kwame in Georgia.
Okay. Brother Kwame, hold on. As soon as Brother Kareem gets back to his, opens his mic.
I'm back now.
Okay. Brother Kwame is on. Brother Kwame, 706. Do you want to go ahead and speak?
Yes, I've called in kind of late. I know the men were having a discussion. And assalamu alaikum to Sister Naima and to my brother Rashid and to you, sister, and I greet you also. I'm adamant to say that
I am Kareem Hamid. Alhamdulillah.
Oh, okay.
Thank you, though. Praise be to Allah.
Okay, all praises be to Allah. Anyway, what I'm hearing is the discussion of manhood and how do we help boys to become men. And it's important how we raise sons because the first love of a son is the mother. And the mother is important because she nurtures him, but also she has to be able to have that male energy in her life to help guide him to when he goes into that second stage of development in his seventh year, to guide him into adding the lessons of what a man's purpose is. Because men are to provide, to protect, and to profess. And to help guide that son into the light of knowledge, the right knowledge. That's why I say he's a son. You have to guide him into that light and being able to show him that these circles of life continue through how you provide what's needed for us as male and female to make what a man stands for, M-A-N, to make another nation. And it's through those guidance of balancing from the father, the grandfather, the uncles, those ones who have already began their journey in manhood to guide them in what's needed for the next three generations. Because in him is a generation when he chooses his mate. In her, when she receives that challenge to bring forth that light, she develops, one, the woman she is, the child that's within her and the child that's seated within her that's going to come forth. And these are the challenges that we face because this is generational annihilation, what they're attempting to do. And they have been on this genocidal process, but we as a people have to begin to understand how to correct what is going on in our community and in our house, because the destruction of a nation begins in the home. And we have to see how do we build a family, because family is important. Nature takes care of its family. It has its community. It has its animals and insects and reptiles, all of them working together in their community. What we've done as humans, we've created a way to take us out of nature. You're banned because you live in an urban area. You're banned from the natural resources, and we've got to learn how to balance that. Yes, we have a techno-spiritual world, but how do we use that techno-spiritual to keep us connected to the natural order of life?
Yes, sir. Thank you. You know, I as you were speaking, what was running across my mind is, in order to promote the heterosexual way of life, it doesn't cost me anything to share with others the value that if I was still married, to share with young men and young women the value that my wife is to me, to mention her many wonderful qualities that I'm so grateful that she shares with me. Likewise, the wife should express the value of her husband to her and share with others his unique worth to her. Not always sharing certain problems that we may have. You know, man, let me tell you, she blah, 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 blah. That's between you and your wife. You should not do that. You should not do that. Her pluses far outweigh whatever negative influence that you and her may be addressing at that time. But share the value, embellish, uplift our mates. Publicly, and that enhances, that gives a greater value to the heterosexual lifestyle that God has ordained for us. Say it publicly. Say it out loud, the value of your wife. Say it out loud, the value of your husband and your children. What a wonderful gift God has given you. That is what I'm suggesting in the promotion of the heterosexual lifestyle. Yes, human beings have challenges, but they are not to be publicly published. That's consistently cast abroad. For Almighty God says, for you may cause someone's foot to slip after he has placed them on the path. So whatever problems you have, get with family members and work it out, but do not neglect to mention the value and the wonderful attributes that your wife has or your husband has and how it enhances you. Praise be to God. That is my one of the suggestions that I'm offering here, that we not bash one another, that we not share challenges that we may have. That should be discussed within the family, not coming on Oprah or some talk show bashing one another. So the heterosexual lifestyle is the most excellent social unit. It is the first social unit Almighty God established for us. That is the social connect between male and female. And from that, societies are constructed by the proper structuring of the family unit. Of the family unit. So let us support one another. Support one another. Talk each other up. Encourage one another. And not only say these wonderful things in front of other people, begin to say those wonderful things to each other. to each other. No one is all bad. Everyone has something of value. Say that to one another. And how much you appreciate each other. Do that with a husband and wife and our children. And our children. Words make people do things. Words are very valuable containers of valuable information and valuable gifts. Let us talk each other up and not talk each other down. Not talk each other down. So this will help, inshallah, God willing, in the promotion of the heterosexual lifestyle. It is a wonderful lifestyle designed by Almighty God. So that is my suggestion. I want to, we have only got about 11 minutes of broadcast time.
Yeah, I'd like to follow up.
Yes, sir. Who am I speaking to now?
No, this is Brother Kwame, and I wanted to... Oh, Kofi.
Go ahead, Kwame.
Okay. Be very succinct, please. I want to hear from everyone before we leave the air. So if you can be as concise to the point, and we can allow everyone to speak. Yes, sir. Go ahead, my brother.
Yes, and you made an excellent point, because that's what's missing in our community is values, moral respect, and ethics. Those things once upon a time were the basis of our communities, but now it seems that they've been separated from the people. The part of the husband, and that's us banding together as that man and that woman. They band together. It's in uniting the spirit to band together to create the family. And how we begin to do this is very important. And the first thing is, how do you value yourself as a man? Because if you don't know how to love yourself as a man, you sure can't know how to love a woman.
Yes, sir. Thank you, my brother. Alhamdulillah. Okay, we want to move forward. L.A., I think you wanted to share something. I think it was you that was speaking. You are either Kofi, I'm not sure.
Yes, I'm here.
But
you want me to go ahead?
Okay, we got about a few minutes of broadcast time left, and we look forward to hearing from everyone, inshallah. Yes, sir. Go
okay.
ahead, if you would, please.
Thank you. Growing up as a child, what made me a man or heterosexual is my faith in God. The spirit that I got from the Word of God opened up my maleness that I can connect with the female. And so prayer, and I thank God for that. But if we're going to promote the heterosexual, then we need to take it upon ourselves on a given time to approach a young brother and talk good about our females or talk good about us.
There we go.
And
that's
make
right.
And make
that's
them,
right.
How you doing, brother? Good seeing you today. Looking good. You know, and I think we take it upon ourselves, and that's going to elevate the heterosexual spirit that we're talking about. All right.
Thank you, my brother. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Very important. Okay, I want to go down the line once more before we, if anyone has any closing commentaries, we ask you, would you share them now and be as brief as you can? Yes, sir. Imam Delefi Umar, fellow.
Yes, I wanted to just say.
Wait a minute. If you would you spell your name for Sister Naima Latif, please?
Yes, Delacy, D-E-L-A-C-I-E, Umar, U-M-M-A-H, last name Philip. Yes.
Yes, sir.
just wanted to say resolve, you know, to, like you mentioned earlier, we've had this great conversation, and I appreciate the brothers for saying what some action that can take place and sharing some thoughts on action that can take place. And I think we need to do that resolve to promote these ideas more broadly. And that's you know, find strategies where we can implement them. And I appreciate Kufi for suggesting that, approaching young men and, you know, having that type of conversation with our young men. So just resolve and let this conversation not be the end of the process. So thank you for that.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Imam Delaisi. Alhamdulillah. Praise be to Allah. Okay. Imam Sahir Beya, any closing remarks, if you would, please?
Yes, sir. One word, mentorship. Mentorship. We need to teach our young people and demonstrate to them how to be good men, how to be good women, and how to be good to one another. You know, they have to be models. You don't see enough of that in the Lord is giving him a lot of broken homes, a lot of broken families. So mentorship, you know, connect with a young person, young man with a female, and be that for their parent that they may not have and that they most definitely may need. So inshallah, let's mentor and be parents of those who may not have the parents, and be examples to those who may not have the examples, inshallah. I'm not going to do it that way.
Okay. All right. Thank you, my brother. Let me see. I see no one else has pressed one on their phone. Gail, if you would call Sister Naima's number. She asked that I ask you to call her number. It is 515-605-9325. That will put you right in contact with the female solution board, if you would, please. Okay, who else have I not called upon? Yes, Brother Kufi, if you're still with us, would you have some closing commentary, if you would, please? Brother Kufi?
Yes.
Okay. Yes, sir. Your line is open. If we've only got 4 minutes left. If you could
like
give
I said,
us a great question,
the call to action that we go out and share our heterosexual spirit and be proud of it. What you're doing is very powerful. And we can do it in social media. We can do it through physical, you know, your neighbor or whatever, and you see a brother, and maybe you want to say, hey, brother, we are out here promoting our heterosexual spirit today. And I think once you start putting that information out there, oh, it's going to roll like a domino. And these kids will say,
yes,
wow,
sir.
These guys are really concerned about us. Yeah. Yeah. And that's kind of the right, what is it called, rites of passage, you know. And so we can begin to do it whenever you need, whenever God, and then the biggest thing that they cannot take from us is prayer. You can take my social media, you can't take my prayer, because prayer, the sexual prayer of a righteous man is effective much. I don't pray too much because stuff happens when I pray. For real. So call to action. Put the energy out there. And I'm telling you, our heterosexual spirit, oh, it's been under the rug. we've been promoting the female spirit all the time and getting caught. But our heterosexual spirit, oh, it needs to rise. And I appreciate you. Thank you for the opportunity to talk.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Praise be to Almighty God. Excellent advice there. And we definitely want to promote the sacred institution of marriage. The sacred institution of marriage. And express the value and the great gifts from out of that sacred union. Share with them how much that your husband is a value to you, how much your wife is a value to you. We want to definitely promote the sacred bonds of marriage, not just marriage, because everybody is marrying anything now, but the sacred bond that was sanctified by Almighty God. I want to thank every last one of you for your contribution this morning on the female solution concerning the promotion of the heterosexual. Yes, sir, if you would. We got 2 minutes left.
Okay, and we always tell our children, do as I say, not as I do. The thing is that what we show them in being able to be that role model of a father, of a husband, to have that relationship with a wife, and to see that ceremony of merging together male and female energy is very important, because we have two eyes and two ears. We say,
my brother, I've got 90 seconds. I must get out of the way for the next upcoming broadcast. Allow Industries Incorporated, hosted by our beloved Imam Ali Ayyub Bilal. We ask that you tune back in to American Muslim 360 for the broadcast of Halal Industries Incorporated. And we are grateful to our beloved host, Naima Latif, for sharing with us the female solution here on American Muslim 360. And I thank all of our gracious those of you that took part in this wonderful conversation. I came to you with the greetings of peace. I leave you with the greetings of peace. Of assalamu alaikum, rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. May the peace, mercy, and blessings of Almighty God be upon you and upon us all.
Every single day that we don't speak out as Jews in support of Palestinian liberation.
It's another day too late.
And we want you all to stay on with us.
This is the first time I am using my full real name to stand in solidarity with Palestinians. And
we want you all to stay with us as we continue on with the after show. And women, we want to kind of take a look at what we heard. So, sisters, I'm going to open your mics and get your thoughts. Maika and Mama D, and of course, if you're watching us on Facebook, you can feel free to write in your comments. We'll share them with our listeners. And, you know, as they spoke, my thought was, we really need to heal as a human family our broken sexuality, because so much of the problem is our broken relationships, and that's why children are not seeing what Kwame Summers was talking about, you know, showing the example of the loving household. We've got, even now, more domestic violence happening, more sexual abuse happening, more hostility between men and women in that family unit. So there's something that has to be addressed and healed within our intimate relationships before we can actually deal with why the sexuality has become such that is not a harmonious male-female relationship, and has been more pleasure-seeking in many instances and not family-creating. But let me get you all's thoughts on that. Maika, what are your observations as to why we're seeing a lot more women turn away from men and toward women, and why we're seeing more men turn away from women and toward men in intimate relationships? What are your thoughts on why that's happening?
Well, it appears that the society itself is anti-natural, you know, because we are going on with so many things that are not natural, like having people locked up in jail away from the opposite sex, and we know that inhumane treatment that that natural sex drive is there, and it's going to find a way to release itself, even if it's perverted. So that's something we've been going along with for a long time as a society. That kind of stuff, it needs to be stopped, because that's the greatest homosexual factory, our prisons. And we have to address these inequities that are upon us. And then I remember talking to a young girl on the back of a CTA bus, and she told me, she said, "I like girls. I don't have to worry about getting pregnant." So now we have a society where women are afraid to get pregnant, and men are afraid to become fathers because of consequences, because the society has enabled men to be the breadwinners by creating different scenarios that trip them up. So we have problems out here, even our educational system, as I was saying earlier. All children should learn electricity, how electricity works. Then they'll know exactly how to formulate themselves as males and as females, the negative and the positive. Those are things that are needed in our psyche in order to balance out the inequities and the perversions that the society offers. And then last but not least, we have to heal the traumas of slavery that have been passed on from generation to generation. Those, the greatest perversions took place in slavery because there was no protection. There was nobody to comfort you if you've been sexually molested or abused. So we have a lot of problems in the society that really do have to be addressed, and we have to stop ignoring them. Just like the pants hanging low on men came out of the prisons, now you also have homosexuality coming out of the prisons. The prisons are a great influence on the so-called general society, and we have to look at that and how that's affecting us. Thank you, Naima.
Thank you, Maika. You know, that's a major thing that people aren't talking about, and because prison has become, unfortunately, too common for young men and young women, and as you say, it's an unnatural environment. It's a hostile environment. It's an environment where a lot of sexual assault occurs. People come out of prison damaged. No matter what they went in there for, they come out emotionally damaged because of that environment. And is there any natural counseling, that any kind of exit plan when you leave prison? No, people just thrown back into the society with all of their damage. So, Mama D, what do you observe? Because, you know, you deal with young children. You see what they are before they get misshapen. How do we introduce good relationships and the expectation of good male-female relationships to children in a way that is healthy and wholesome and gives them the right direction? What are your thoughts?
Well, I think if you really go back to Naima had Maika had a really good point, because it's just the new normal. What's normal is normal, and putting the word new on it doesn't change the biological facts that we're dealing with. And I think children are exposed at an earlier age to a lot of stuff that they really don't comprehend, because they're not in that natural environment where they see the interaction going on between animals and birds and stuff like that. But I was thinking about the adults, the sins of the parents are visited on the children. I really believe that, because, the words we choose to use, we're going to have pink for girls and blue for boys. We're going to say that this little girl is supposed to be a nurse, and this little boy is supposed to be a doctor. We put labels and things on children that are not natural. If you're in a preschool setting and there's a doll there, no one is going to tell that little boy, "Don't touch that doll." You know, that's a girl's toy. It's a doll, and if he wants to put a diaper on the doll, let him put a diaper on the doll.
So you can learn how to be a good father. That's right.
Exactly, exactly. So we the adults are perverted with trying to put these categories and labels on people instead of, hey, boys need to know how to cook because they're going to have get hungry one day. So, but we want to, I remember when my husband once told me, he said, I washed up the dishes for you. And I said, no, no, no. You washed up the dishes because you nasty them up.
Right.
So, that's why you nasty them up.
You've helped make them dirty, so that's a responsibility that you
Right, right. But it's that thought of, that was woman's work, and see, I washed the dishes up for you. I said, no, you nasty up more dishes than me because I can use the same glass over and over again. Every time you come in the kitchen, you got to use a different glass. You got five glasses there that you nasty it up. So we can go there on the conversation. But I want to get back to when he said valuing each other, and I thought about when my husband and I were on the Oprah Winfrey Show, we were guest panelists, and he said to Oprah that I was like the words and he was like the music. And then he said, what good are the words without the music or the music without the words? And then Oprah came in and she said, there's no melody.
Oh, that's
cute. Wow, that's a Oprah. but there's a lot to valuing each other. And again, if we go back to character, you cannot do wrong and feel right if the spirit of righteousness is in you. You would not allow a married man to court you after midnight, knowing his wife is there in the house, and he's going to go to bed and sleep right next to his wife. And so when you allow yourself to be put in that kind of position, it gets back to do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Do you really think that this is what you want to participate in? I suppose that's why the word says a harlot can be bought for a loaf of bread, but an adulteress stops a man's very soul. And I think it also goes on to say, if you lust after a woman in your heart, you have committed adultery with her. So I think that I like your response to this, because I think that's why women have a tendency to be angry at the woman, the so-called other woman, instead of really being angry at their husband, because, hey, look, you didn't take any vows with the other woman. You took the vows with the husband. But I think it's that women we know, we wouldn't like it if the shoe was on the other foot. Why are we engaging in this lack of integrity behavior? What is it? What do you think?
Well, you know, one of the things that motivated me even to write the book, The Female Solution, was what I was seeing in the classrooms. So many homes were broken because of that very issue. And I thought there's something that we need to address about our relationships and how it's affecting the children and how children are perceiving the anger between the parents. Now, I had this incident with a child, um, I could see how children perceive this whole thing. By the way, Zelda says on our Facebook page, Maika and Mama D, right on point. Old school moms speak truth to light. So she's giving me all an amen there. But, you know, but when I look at how children are affected when families break up and there is an issue of infidelity. Now, this young boy, you know, I was a teaching assistant, and he was, like, in, what, third grade. And it was the beginning of the day, and he wet his pants. You know, he'd asked to go to the bathroom. They were saying, well, wait, oh, wait. You know, because sometimes adults miscalculate how much a young child can hold it, and they can't. And so, well, he couldn't hold it. He wet his pants, so I had to take him down to the office, you know, to call his mother so that she could bring him a new set of clothes. And on the way to the office, he's going through his head, you know, what was going to happen. And he said, well, I know my mother's not going to be able to pick me up till the end of the day because, you know, she had a boyfriend that would have come pick me up because he liked me, but she quit him because he was cheating on her. And she's got a new boyfriend, and he doesn't like me, so he's not going to come get me. So I'm going to have to sit here all day until she gets out of her classes and come get me, and that won't be until after 3 o'clock. So I'm listening to him go down this whole thing in his head, and sure enough, we called, called the mother, and the mother said, well, I can't get out of class till 3. I'll see, my boyfriend come get him. The boyfriend didn't come get him, as he said. And so he ended up sitting there in wet pants all day, missed a whole school day, because of the conflict between his, his mother and, the I guess, boyfriend. I don't know if they were married. I don't think she was married to the first boyfriend. But regardless, they had a relationship, and she felt like he broke the commitment. So okay, you get out because you broke our commitment. But the reality for the child is that this new man did not like him and would not make the sacrifice to come get him from school or come bring him clothes after he wet his pants. That was his reality. This man doesn't like me, so he's not coming. So when relationships break, the other one liked him, but he cheated on woman, so the woman put him out. So our children have to deal with the fallout from our relationships. And usually that's, and I was seeing it over and over and over again. I was constantly seeing this happening. Now, this was in grammar school. I got to the high school level. One day we're in English class and get ready to do a test. They had to pass out the papers. Okay, put your name on the test. And one young man, he's sitting there just dazed, and him and his, female friend, they're talking back and forth. I'm like, what are you doing? You're talking. You get your name on the test. We're getting ready to take the test. And he was like, well, I can't really concentrate because, my mother, she just put me out of the house because, her boyfriend, he don't like me. And so, the other guy, I think they were married. My father, she broke up with my father because he got another woman. So, now she got a boyfriend, but he don't like me. So she put me out, and I don't have a place to go home when I leave school. And I'm looking at him. He's got all this drama going on. He can't think about how to take a test. His parents split up because, the mother's angry because the father had an affair, so the marriage broke up, so now she's got a new relationship with another man who doesn't like her son. Once again, so we're having this issue. So I kept seeing this pattern of broken families because of broken commitments. And I said, we got to figure out something. We have to figure out some kind of way where we're not destroying families and destroying children in the process, because they're the ones who, when a new partner comes in that's not the parent and doesn't want to be the parent to the child, then the child feels the pain of what happens. So women have to talk about this between themselves. They have to talk about how can we coexist and respect each other and keep our families from self-destructing. How can men be honest and realize that if you have made a commitment to someone and you have made that an exclusive commitment, then that is your agreement. And if you don't honor that, then the woman feels violated. How do you address that? And if you know that you are not ready to make an exclusive commitment, can you create harmony between the women that are involved in a way that honors all of them and keeps your children feeling like they are in a safe environment where the adults are going to look out for their best interests? That's what we have to figure out how to do, because what we've been doing isn't working. And if men who are saying they're committed to a woman then violates that commitment, yes, she's going to be angry because you made a commitment. So either make the commitment and honor it, or redefine your relationship but honor every relationship. And if you can't do that, then, brother, you need to step back and do some self-analysis and maturing so that you understand your decisions are affecting not just you, but everybody you're connected to, the women, the children, their children. I mean, this goes on for generations. So this is what motivated me to write the book, so we can deal with our broken families and how we're breaking the children in the process.
You said these were males,
question just
right?
Came into my mind. Are males seeking male attention because they have so little as young boys?
Yes.
Is that a conscious drive in males?
Those were
to
males.
Become like females so that they can attract male attention, because they grow up seeing women attracting male attention. So then they decide they want to be females so that they too can attract more male attention into their lives.
Yeah,
well, definitely.
I hadn't thought about, but because you did mention that these were males, and these were males that really, it seemed to me, had craved that relationship. And when
yes.
The male that liked them, that was, whether it was their father or a boyfriend, it just seemed that they had a craving for that. And
right.
and if that need is, like you said, Maika, if that need is not met, they need it later on in life in a perverted manner. But the root of it is he liked me, and I just needed that male bonding, and I didn't get it in a normal, natural way, but I still need it because I'm dealing with arrested development.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. That is exactly what happened. So now you have two things, like you just mentioned, Mama D, when a male child doesn't get the kind of male bonding and affection, there's that absence of that. And so you're looking for male affection. Now you do have some males that for whatever reason, they're predatory and assaulting boys. And they can, we see it happen all the time, whether it's the priest at church that gives you attention, or the Cub Scout leader that gives you attention, or the coach that gives you attention. So this person now has this trusting relationship with a male child who had this absence, this gap in their emotional need. It so easily becomes converted to sexual intimacy. Because that's part of emotional bonding. But that's not what should happen in a relationship between a coach and an athlete, or you know, a team member, or a priest and a parishioner, or you know, a Cub Scout leader and the Cub Scout. That's not what should happen, but that's what happens when that adult takes a predatory role, because that adult is generally someone who themselves has been assaulted and never had that trauma addressed. It's like the person coming out of the prison system, and that breeds that kind of behavior, because that's what happens all day long, sexual assault, where males don't have females, so they're going to make a female out of a male who is deemed weaker. And so a person coming out of that experience, they've been damaged, they're questioning their sexuality, they're repeating, like victims of assault often do, repeating the assault on others. So this is what is happening in our society. And we're producing this because of what we keep doing and creating a prison system that is abnormal and abusive, and then letting people out without counseling or assessment of the trauma that they experienced, and then not dealing with abuses in these institutions, because maybe somebody who's an abuser is someone of high standing or is highly respected. So when the accusation comes from one of their survivors of assault, we ignore it because we don't want this highly respected person to be seen as someone who would do that. Like, oh, no, they're lying. But people don't lie about that. They really, children don't lie about that. So it's traumatic when you go through it. It's traumatic when you're not believed. It's traumatic when you have to swallow it. And so you're not going to be able to develop in a healthy way because of what has happened and the fact that you have not gotten help or healing from the damage.
And the subconscious brain never forgets, even though you're trying to push it down and substitute it for other behaviors, it's still there.
Absolutely, it's still there. So, Maika, what do you think are some ways that women can address this issue of our families, our children, what happens in relationships? And you know, you have some men who can handle multiple relationships in a healthy way if they understand culturally how to create that, and you have some men who simply exploit a bunch of women because they themselves are not healthy emotionally or sexually. So what are your thoughts on that?
It's interesting you're saying they're not healthy emotionally. Most men, I have found, are not healthy emotionally, and I think that's the trigger right there, that they don't learn how, as males, to handle those feelings of rage and anger and fear. And so it's like they become the weaker sex as a result. It's in their minds because they can't manage their emotions. And the emotions, as I've stated before, is relegated as a female issue. And so if you push females in the background and you don't pay serious attention to that, then it's going to come out in other ways. So I think emotional education and intelligence is a very important ingredient so that people can learn to deal with emotions, not in terms of male-female gender, but in terms of emotions, because emotions are just emotions. It's not a female thing. It's not a male thing. It's just
right.
A part of our being, and we have to look at it like that. I've run into a lot of toxicity in males who just get angry at the drop of a hat within a discussion and then they become embarrassed because they don't even know how to manage their emotions at any level. So when you're dealing with physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual qualities, that has to be understood in light of the thing itself, not in terms of male, female, gender. Now, when you get to the biological, the physical, yeah, that's when you're dealing with the genders. So there's so much learning that has to take place that hasn't taken place. And within the home itself, you know, you have women who are having children and they are not healthy before they conceive, and so their hormones are off. And that can cause hormonal imbalance in the children, causing a problem with homosexuality. I read once researching the taking out of tonsils, that just a slip could cause a person to become homosexual because it would throw the hormones off balance. So you have a lot of things, and then the water has all this estrogen in it from birth control pills and other pharmaceuticals which become estrogen-related in the body. So that's causing a lot of hormonal imbalances in people, especially males. So these are all things that are assaulting us as people on the planet, and we have to address it at some point or another rather than, well, I'm going to wear this Gucci bag with this outfit or whatever. You know, we have to become more serious about what we're thinking about in life instead of the non-significant stuff that has nothing to do with nothing. Anyway.
Well, I certainly do believe, yeah, that that emotional education is really necessary. But I think there needs to be some more research done with the growth hormones that we, you know, that the people inject into food to make those chicken wings look like turkey wings, and then you digest them. And you've got our young girls, full blown puberty at age 6 or 5, and that hormonal imbalance due to that, and the birth control pill. I really think more research needs to go into that, because our men, I think, are definitely being feminized due to that birth control taking. And especially when it happens over decades, you took the birth control pills, your mother took the birth control pills, probably it did something to your DNA. And now you're producing these feminized males because of that. What you think?
I think that, as you say, we need a lot more study, because this is a biological structure we're living in. This body, it is affected biochemically by what we put in it. So, like you say, you got birth control pills that disrupt the natural monthly cycle. You have hormones in the food, and when you have men with a lot of estrogen and women with a lot of testosterone, then that changes the natural balance of hormones in the male and the female. So you have a lot of things that affect behavior, affect our biological makeup, affect our bodies. And if we can simply study it without judgment, but just analyze what are we seeing and what does that tell us, and then realizing anything unnatural we do is going to create an unnatural result. Hormones in the meat to make your chicken wings look like turkey wings, you know, that should tell you something. Anything that's artificially enlarged is going to create some other artificial result somewhere else. So anything we're doing that is not natural is going to create something unnatural. So we have to look at what are the results of the things that we're doing in the name of science, in the name of greater profits for our products, you know, bigger, better, you know, charge more money. Whatever it is we're doing,
How about that? Foster to the market.
Yes. So this is the thing that we're charged with, is going back to what's natural, as you said, exposing our children to nature, teaching science that is based in the natural, and expanding our understanding of the world, of the universe that we live in, realizing we're all connected to all energy. And so if we are out of balance, we're going to inject that imbalance into the collective consciousness that we're all connected to. And this is what we must do, is first begin the healing process with ourselves. I know we got a couple of brothers on the line that want to say something. We love y'all. I'll get the permission of my sisters first, because, you know, we gave them a whole 2 hours. We didn't say nothing. But if it's okay with you all, I will open some mics and let them make some comments. What are your thoughts?
Well, it's all right with me. I'd love to hear the brothers speak.
Okay. All right. Well, let me go with...
So when we run into ones who want to talk, we got to let them talk.
All right. Well, I'm going to take you all in this order. Area code 314, Mark Shahid. Area code 706, Kwame Sunhorse. And area code 312, Minister Plum. I'm going to take you all in that order. So we're going to give you all an opportunity to share your thoughts. So 312-833, let me open the mic for my brother, Mark Shahid. Grand Rising. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum assalam to you, Naima Latif, and to your very distinguished, esteemed guests, my good friend, Maika, and Mama D, Mark Shahid from the STL here in St. Louis. I'm going to be very short. I just been privileged to listen in to some wonderful commentary and excellent information, very substantive information. This should go viral, the information that you all have disseminated for the rest of the world to hear. You're right on point, and you don't really need a validation from Mark Shahid or any man. Truth is truth. I just wanted to say that tonight, since I am speaking to the Female Solution audience, that you'll be one of the very distinguished, esteemed panelists as we celebrate our fifth anniversary of the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. And I know that there's going to be a lot of great information coming forth from the outstanding panelists. This we'll be talking about what is correct parenting and how to reconstruct the destructed family life. So we do ask that you tune in tonight on IWDM Radio. It's a sister station. And we celebrate our fifth anniversary, and that will start, for those who are in the Eastern Standard Time Zone, it'll be 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central. And if we have anyone that's on the West Coast, it'll be 4 p.m. It'll be a two-hour-plus special, and you don't want to miss it. I think that you're going to get a lot of great information as we look for the solutions rather than just the problems that it creates tonight. And be honored to have you there if you already committed to being there, and others too. So just wanted to say that. That's all. I don't want to make any comments.
What I need you to do is give the phone number where people can.
Oh, yes, yes. Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah. Yeah, the phone number. The phone number is 714-816-4673. Once again, to be in on this fifth anniversary, 714-816-4673. And you also have opportunity to ask the panelists questions or to make comments. The first hour or so, I'll be asking the questions in terms of facilitating and all, but you'll have that opportunity to do that. And please, just don't come by yourself. Bring a family member, bring a friend, a neighbor, associate, or community member with you. It's going to be a lot of great information. As you know, whenever you come to the lab, you need to bring your pen and paper, because there are going to be some noteworthy things said. Thank you so much, and Naima Latif was the first to honor that request 5 years ago. So I'm honored to have her and the other very esteemed panelists that will be participating. Thank you, 714-816-4673. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. And for those who are joining us on Facebook Live, that number is on the screen. So make sure you write that down, and we'll be looking for you to tune in tonight. And, you know, one of the things I've been telling Brother Mark, we need to take these learning labs, make them online classes, and give people an opportunity to learn some how-tos, and some basic understanding, because usually we don't get an opportunity to actually teach parenting, and as a result we go into it blindly and we make a lot of mistakes because we come into it scarred from our own parents who didn't get instruction either, you know, coming out of traumatic circumstances. So we keep passing this bad parenting down over generations without assessing, okay, is this something that worked? Did this create a good person, or did this create somebody who was emotionally scarred and damaged other people? And we got to be able to be honest about what we see. It's like everything else. What are the effects, and are we getting an invitation we need to change something? So let me go to area code 706. I believe we got Kwame Sunhorse, Papa Kwame, on the line. Grand Rising, thank you for joining us.
Grand Rising, and assalamu alaikum, and greetings to Mama D and to my sister. So I think this is a very important discussion that we're having here. And Maika made a very important part in dealing with emotions, because there's a lot of emotional damage that has been done in the way in which a child is even conceived. When a child is conceived in the wrong energy, it will grow with that energy. And what we're looking at is what's now they're labeled as epigenetics. Those traumas that continuously pass on through the genes and not being really looked at in how to reprogram that damage. And what we're having this discussion and being able to relate from elders, from the wisdom keepers and the next generation of elders, the part that we're having to look at is how do we break the generational curse? And these generational curses continue on because we're willing, because this is why we're discussing it. But how do we get the message to the masses? And what we have, and I think that's an excellent suggestion in being able to have what my brother's having on parenting. We need to use this techno-spiritual in order to help carry the message, because it's through the media that they perpetuate this genocide. Through all the avenues of media, they interdetain the community's mind by music, by movies, by selling, all of these tools that they use. But how do we begin to use what we have to work with? And what we're doing now is having dialogue. Because it says in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. So we have to understand that our words have power. And how we use these words to give this information, because each child that comes through is already programmed with a purpose and things in which is to do. We are the parent, the pair, the two. There's not
like
single,
parent.
There's parents. Parents,
well, I've called
parents, that means two. And it means is that it took two to create you. It's going to take two to help guide you. And these are the challenges that we have come. That's why I say the destruction of a nation begins in the home. Because the thing that has to overstand is the sacredness of creation is the spiritual energy exchange, how we exchange our spirit. Husband, that's why I say us band. That means uniting spirits to band together. That's what a provider, a protector, and a professor does.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're looking at is that in her being able to be the way shower, because every man has a belly button. We all come from women. And so what we have to understand is how do we honor that which gave us life? She allowed us to grow in her body, because they can now, they're arguing about abortions, but I don't even want to go there. The thing is conception. How are you conceived? Because the African says is that a child is born when a girl has the thought of a baby. That's when you're born.
Mm-hmm.
How do you think about it as a girl? What is in your body, those eggs that are already put in your body when you're in the womb, those sperms that are already put in a male's body when he's in the womb? A woman creates three generations, herself, the child that's developing in her, and the development of the grandchild that's going to come from that. And what they're focused on is how do we stop this generational three generations by distorting the genes and taking away the part of manhood, womanhood by getting the genes. And so we already know that they know the science of Henrietta Lacks. and what they know about that cell being able to continue life, even when it was a cancerous one, and they still produce. They are looking at how do we destroy, and what we are doing as a people is beginning to discuss how do we save ourselves? How is this what we're talking about going to free us? How is it going to free us? These are the challenges, because we have two things until you take your last breath, choice and change. That's my comment. Thank us.
Thank you, Baba Kwame. That was Kwame Sunhorse from Georgia. Thank you so much for those comments. Yes, definitely. I agree that we got to look at the way we even approach the relationship as it evolves, because it has been destructive in so many ways. How are you looking at females? How are men taught to view females? We've had centuries where women were objects, you know, not even considering their full personhood. Like Mama Dee was talking about, you know, you suppress the aspirations of the female as if she should always be lesser than, as opposed to letting every human being develop their creativity and their intellect to the fullest of whoever they choose to be, whatever vocation, whatever talent and skill they choose to excel in. We put a gender on a talent or skill as if it is not something that women can do. Well, women shouldn't be engineers, women shouldn't be doctors. I mean, we've had centuries of that. So it's just been recently where that ceiling has been lifted, and we realize human development and human ingenuity has no gender. So gender, it has to do with, as Baba Kwame said, the reproductive process, the creation process, who plays what role, who plants the seed, who develops that seed that fertilizes the egg, who develops that body within their body, who provides the house for that developing body. It's about that role, but in terms of what you become as a being and all that you can create and manifest, that doesn't have a gender. So there's that that we have to deal with, and then we have to deal with the exploitation factor, you know. How do we unlearn that behavior? Well, let me go to Minister Plump and get your thoughts. Area code 312-671. Minister Plump, give us your thoughts today after our men-only discussion on how do we promote the heterosexual lifestyle? Well, you know, we got a lot to deal with that conflicting relationship between men and women, where our families break apart because of anger, and we haven't been able to resolve the anger. So, Minister Plum, let me ask you this question. One of the biggest thing, and you know, Maika had said, you know, whenever we get a brother who's willing to talk, we definitely need to let them talk because we often
right
we don't often hear what men really feel, you know, and when they're angry, they're not able to express the anger in words. It just ends up, you know, violent actions, and so we never understand the source of the inner conflict, and so the relationship breaks apart. In your opinion, how do we teach boys how to express when they're upset about something, when they feel uncomfortable about something, when they're angry about something, when they're grieving about something? How do we encourage them to express those feelings without putting a label of it being feminine to be emotional, so that they can learn how to express healthy emotions? How do we do that, in your opinion?
Well, yes, alone, or who we don't die, we multiply. Black success. I am creating community healing. And we do that through family, marriage. Spiritual healing is a way of life. In other words, assalamu alaikum, God helps all of us. Satan hurts all of us. My conclusion in everything in the past, the present, the future, and forever will always be saved the children. God's will only. God has been working with me and making miracles all my life. So family come first. And God created he and she, which is family. Go ye in the land and multiply and produce the children. Man is the sun, which is also known as the prophet. The woman is the moon, which is the girl. And the children are all stars, which is superstars. And as a superstar, it comes with the number 34. 34 represents FMO, family members only. So God's will only is through the marriage. And there's a spiritual number that goes with the marriage, which is 277 plus 23 equals God's success, which is through the marriage. And fortunately or unfortunately, this is where I'm standing, which is God's will only. They gave call and said I have COVID-19. However, I'm not going to worry. I have to put God first in my life and foremost. So it, whatever his will is, I'm going to keep it real. However, brothers and sisters can check us out on the HarroldWashingtonFoundation.net. And since I have COVID, you know I have to quarantine now. But at least the next 5 days, and they can tell me it's a community campaign that we need to start. And it starts with the family. It starts with the village. It takes a village to raise one child. And as Mama D say, love, and love is the greatest, by the way. And nobody can raise a kid. But we are human beings. We are not beasts. We're not animals. Creating community spiritual healing by marrying people. Yes, I will marry you, them, and they, and all the female solution. And thank God for the female solution. We love you. Keep up the good work. And my people, you know, you hit it right with the hammer on nail. You say, yes, let the brothers speak. You know, we are not going nowhere without balance. Balance is key, 50-50, key, 50-50. So we all God's children, and we have to reproduce through a marriage, a way of life. Even the animals consider the fact that he and she can create another family, another child, boy or girl, and left us here.
We love you so much.
Yes,
we appreciate you, and take care of yourself. Don't let them make you panic. You know, COVID-19 is just another germ in the air. It'll pass through you, and it'll be on its way, and you'll be fine. Just drink plenty of water, get plenty of rest, stay unstressed, and you'll be fine. Thank you so much for sharing your time.
You are fantastic. Praise the Lord. Allah Rabbah. You have made my day.
And enjoy your day today, man. We appreciate you so much. Thank you for calling. Yes.
You're welcome. Thank you for listening to me, too.
Absolutely.
Hallelujah.
So now, my internet is stalling a little bit, so we may have lost our Facebook image. We're going to try to get that back. But in the meantime, Maika, last words that you have. You've written books. You've been teaching, doing tapping healing sessions. What do you think is our next step to really to redefine our relationships between men and women, males and females, so that going forward into the future, we can produce emotionally, spiritually, psychologically, sexually, more healthy human beings? What are your thoughts?
Well, I think one of the needs now is for masterminds to come together and answer those questions. And in seclusion. You know, that we as a people, those who have a mind and have thoughts and who have a caring for what's going on and the changes that need, understanding the changes that need to go on, that we come together and start asking those kind of questions to each other and listening to each other and building on what each other says. We need to have think tanks to pull ourselves out of the situation that we're in so that we can leave a legacy for future generations that can be ongoing and create success for their lives. I think that's what's needed, that minds need to come together. I mean, bodies have been coming together a lot, but now minds and hearts need to come together, and we need to think through the problems that are presented. So that's what I think is needed right now.
Well, I agree. So let us come together. Well, you know, this is the Morning Think Tank here on the Female Solution, so we'll continue to be that platform where we can evolve in our thinking, our awareness, our understanding, and our manifestation. So thank you all for joining us today. Join us tomorrow. Come right on back for Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green here every Thursday morning. And, of course, you can see her live on Facebook on Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green on Facebook as well as on the Female Solution Blog Talk channel. We had a little bit of a technical issue with the sound on the Blog Talk channel. So if you missed some of the conversation, you can see it on the Female Solution Facebook page. We did have all of the audio there. Had a glitch or two in between a couple of times, but for the most part, you'll be able to hear a very beneficial conversation today. Men had an opportunity to talk about how do we promote the heterosexual lifestyle. And it is important that we address the damage that has happened, the things that we're doing that are not healthy, the ways we're destroying people in our penal system and even in our classrooms by not teaching health, nature, and respect for both genders. So I'm Naima Latif, and until tomorrow, continue to shine your light.